Women's Shir Chayv Salvavus Sunday Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh Tes Adar Aleph Tavshin Ayin Dalet. Okay, we're learning Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, and we're up to Cheshbon number 16. And to quickly review, which I like to do every once in a while, number one is to remember that Hashem created us, and He created us as a person. Cheshbon number two is to think about Hashem made us a body with all the biology involved in the body and how it works. Millions of nisim every day, every second, every minute. Number three is He gave us seichel, rational thought. Number four is He gave us the Torah and olam haba. Number five is so the first four are really thank yous about specific things, expanded upon, of course, in Shar HaBechina. Number five is the cheshbon, meaning things to think about, how we have to study the Torah and delve into it and understand it, not just parrot it or memorize it, or memorize it in the sense of just, you know, rote, but we have to understand it. Number six is to realize that all bruim, everything but mankind does the Ratzon Hashem. And that's its natural task, its natural function, the natural function. And it should be man's natural function too. Yes, we were given Bechira, but our natural function should be to do the Ratzon Hashem, as all of the Bria does. Number seven is to think about the might serving Hashem as an Eved would serve a master that he's totally dependent on. Number eight is the two kinds of Yichud Hashem, which we explained why it's really one thing, even though they seem to be going in different directions. One is the knowledge, the realization, the convincing, one being convinced of Hashem Echad and all of that implies. And the other is Yichud HaMaisa, what we call dedicating all of our actions that we're doing it for, because it's Hashem's will. Everything we do, no matter what. Even things that we think are very, very natural. I'm not just talking about mitzvah sichlius. I'm talking about even a love, let's say, that one has for one's children or one's spouse. It's because Hashem wants us to have that emotion. And we're doing the will of Hashem in everything that we do. Number nine is to make a cheshbon if we're doing all the mitzvahs properly with all of the diktukim and all of the, you know, we don't say, this part of the din is not important, this part is not important. Number ten is that Hashem knows what we're thinking and what our motivations are, and He sees into our kishkes. And sometimes we don't even see into our kishkes. Some people, it would be helpful, just like I say, you should pull any car off the road and give it a tune-up, so every person can go to a therapist and really plumb what's going on inside of them, what their motivations are, what are they resentful about, why do they act a certain way with a certain person. You spend a little time on with the therapist, you say, because it reminds me of an aunt that I never liked. Really, you have such things. People really, these are mamish emesika things. And, but Hashem knows everything. Everything's open to Hashem. Whether we're responsible for them or not is, of course, a question of how deeply buried it is. If we're an ones, then we're an ones. If we should make a cheshbon hanefesh because we act, let's say, a little obnoxiously to, let's say, a sibling, or a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law, and you think, it's because this is what I saw it, you know, whatever, there's all sorts of things. So maybe we are responsible, maybe we're not, because we're an ones, because it's deeply buried. But the realization that Hashem knows why we do things is works wonders, because even when we do mitzvahs, and you know, not always is our motivation very kosher, or certainly not pure. So the realization that Hashem knows our insides as much as, you know, what we say and what we do. Number 11 is to give thought to what we're spending our lives on. Are we spending it on gashmius or on ruchnius? Take stock. Number 12 is to look at the difference of how we approach Kashmius, how we approach our jobs, or how we approach getting things on sale, and how we approach consumer reports of how the, you know, a good washing machine and this. And when it comes to spiritual matters, maybe we're not so, we don't hunt as much. Maybe there's no consumer reports on Ruchnius, but somehow there should be. In some way, a person has to think, what should I be doing? Is this the right way? How can I daven better? How can I work on myself, have better midos, and so on and so forth? That was number 12. Number 13 was, you know, thinking about one's potential. That was the marshal he gave with the seeds, with the melech. You know, that everything we do really has to measure up to our abilities and to the potential and what we can do and the kochos that Hashem gave us. That was number 13. Number 14 was, the ma'ariv ponim al ponim phenomenon, and the realization that Hashem loves us, and we really have to, if we feel that and it's a reality by us, we reciprocate that, just like when someone likes you and you have a friend. And the Shlomo HaMelech says there's a reciprocity involved. That was number 14. And number 15 is, just like you prepare when your kids go on a trip, you prepare for them snacks and lunches and breakfasts and snacks to eat between the snacks, and you make sure they have sunglasses and a hat and a yarmulke in case the hat gets lost, and a hat in case the yarmulke gets lost. They end up looking like they're going to the North Pole for 6 months. They're just taking an 8-hour trip into the countryside. But are we preparing ourselves for Olam Haba in the same way? With all of the, are we packing? Are we having Seidel Aderech with which to take the journey that every person takes? Okay, we're up to number 16 now. Okay, number 16. 16, if you read it yourselves, if you would read it, it's extremely depressing and sad, and we would just skip it. It's too depressing. So, but that's not the Chavis Halvavis' purpose. Nowhere in the Chavis Halvavis does it say you're supposed to be sad. You're supposed to always be happy and be optimistic and thank Hashem every minute of the day. So why does he talks about Misa, and he presents it in a way that you would think is very depressing. But that's not like the Chavis Halvavis. That's not his approach to life at all. So I will explain it the way Rabbi Avigdor Miller explains it. By the way, Rabbi Avigdor Miller has his tapes on the Chavis Halvavis have been transcribed, so they did already the Hakdama, they skipped Shar HaYichud, and they did Shar HaBechina, and they just now came out with Shar HaVodos Elokim. So if you care to get it, I don't know if it's in the stores in Israel yet, but it's in the stores in America on the Shar HaVodos Elokim. Anyway, we'll take his approach, and it makes sense because it fits in with the general attitude of the Chavis Halvavis and everything else. But first we'll read it. And again, I warn you, the reading is very depressing. He says, Cheshbon Adam im Nafsho is number 16. Al Orech Zman Omdo Ba'olam. To realize that our time in this world is limited. The Yale Alibo Kirvas Kitso Uvo Hamavis I love. And he says, it happens to everyone. It's something that is the end of every person. And really, even if, he says, no matter how old you are, even if you're 16 years old, he says, really very depressing, he says, if you're 16 years old, you probably know at least one or two 16-year-olds who are no longer with us, and at 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds, maybe even a 6-year-old, right? He says, no matter how old you are, there's no immunity from mothers. Be'eshu roa misos she'or achayim pisol, and it happens suddenly, mimedaber, to people, the zulaso, and even, it happens to animals too. I mean, that's interesting you should say that. That's already a shaila about how much hashgacha protest there is on animals. You know, you see an animal get hit by a car. Mebli hagdomas yediyah bedover. There's never any warning. I should say never, but many times there's no warning. Below remez, and you don't really know. Below moed yedua, nobody has a set time. No one knows for sure that they'll be alive in another minute from now. Right? You hear people say, how could he have been nifter? I just saw him yesterday. You could say, I just saw him a minute ago. Right? It doesn't take a long time. So, Einu Mis'akev Mibo, it comes to everyone, and it doesn't refrain from coming. B'chol Chodesh Michodshi Hashana, there's no month that's exempt. B'lo B'yomi Mos HaChodesh, there's no day that's exempt. B'lo B'shoa Mishol Sayom, there's no hour in the day that's exempt. B'ninu Babi Mehazikna, it doesn't only come when you're old. Mibaladei HaYeshishus V'Abachrus, it comes when you're in middle age. V'Hanarus, it comes younger age. Vayaldus, it comes to children at times. Vayankus, it comes to infants at times. No matter what age, unfortunately we know, no matter what age you pick, right, we know of tragedies, we know of people that were niftah, and it comes to everybody. So we'll see what his point is now. What does he want you to think about? L'cholera, anybody that thinks about this will become depressed, and it's very morbid. It's very morbid cheshbon hanefesh. It's not the way of the chayvus halvavus to be morbid. So, achukore lachayim b'chol zman v'chol eis v'chol makom. No one is immune. No one's immune. And there's no time that's immune, and there's no place that's immune. Life is temporary. So what is his point? What is he trying to teach us? What are we supposed to think about? It's inconceivable that he just wants to depress us. Or scare us. So Rabbi Avigdor says, and it's a short shot because you see later in his marshal as he goes on to talk about it. The point is the preciousness of time. Right? We make two mistakes. The human being makes two mistakes. First of all, they think they have all the time in the world. They have all the time in the world, right? We do things and we don't do it with a sense of urgency. Unless it's urgent for some artificial reason, like I have to be finished cooking by Shabbos. So there's a sense of urgency there, but that's like artificial. But when we do things, there's no urgency. And second of all, not only is there no urgency, but we tend to say, okay, I'll get around to davening properly when my kids are grown up. And I'll get around to, a man says, I'll get around to learning when I retire. Or you say, I'll get around to, you know, next year. And we keep pushing things off. So, which is also part of, you know, so the realization that the present, you know, we don't think about the present. We don't think about the past. We think about the future. You have to think about the preciousness of time. That's what he's trying to impress upon us. Because we don't know what the future will bring. So we have to savor each moment and be thankful. Be thankful to Hashem that we're alive. Elokai, Neshama, Shenasata, be, right? Modani lefanecha, Melechai v'kayom, Shechazarta, be Neshmasi, v'chemla, Rabbo emunosecha. We thank Hashem. We thank Hashem, and we have to realize we have a matana, we have a matnas chayim, and it should make us happy, and not depressed, so to speak. In other words, we should feel thankful to Hashem that because we don't have to be here. In fact, right, we always hear about people that are not here. And we have to be thankful, even if people close to us, nifter, but we have to be, well, you know, we are here, and time is precious. And we have to be thankful, and we have to have some sense of urgency. Not mishigas, you know, things take time, but you can't push things off thinking you have all the time in the world. I remember reading once a science fiction novel about people who lived forever. It was science fiction. And society, it was very interesting, because I wonder what the game plan was before Adam HaRishon's chate. Because it was a science fiction novel about people that lived forever, and the total breakdown of society. Nothing ever got done. I don't remember who wrote it. It was like when I was a kid. It was like an interesting, the story developed that nothing got done. People kept pushing things off because they had all the time in the world. And nobody built anything, and no one invented anything, and no one did anything. And I have all the time in the world. And it described very vividly the breakdown of society and how it was horrible. It was a horrible society. So ironically, this most tragic of events to humankind, the bracha of it is that it gives us focus and purpose, because we don't have all the time in the world. So if I want to be mesakein my midah, if I want to do chesed, if I want to do mitzvahs, I have to do it now. I can't say when I retire I'll do it, I'll do it, you know. I'll learn shas when I have time, when I finish my PhD. I'll do chesed when my children get married. So, if that's a practical statement, so Anachalami, we're not talking about the practicality of the statement. We're talking about the time of the statement, that we push things off. Because that's what the Chavichal Lovers doesn't want us to do. Realize how time is precious. Two aspects to the preciousness of time. First of all, to be thankful for the present, and to say Moda Ani with Kavana, and to realize, you know, there's something we should be doing with our time. And we can't waste time. Wasting time is committing suicide, to put it very, very harshly. So again, people have to relax at times also. They have to sleep, they have to rest. Maybe they have to take vacations. I don't know if they do, but people think they do. So that's all constructive. That's a constructive use of time. But you hear the expression to kill time, or to waste time, or to just, you know, let time, you know, just slip by. See, he's saying that time is very, very precious. And you don't know. You don't know what it's going to be. So you can't be assured. And everybody has this, I don't know, deep down, people just think, you know, they're going to keep on going. But he says he wants, really, he throws this in your face. It could be very extremely morbid and depressing, but it's not his intention. And he wants you to realize how precious it is. Time is precious. It's a matana from Hashem, because, you know, it's not mukhrach. Nothing's mukhrach. Nothing has to be that way. So you thank you. And as long as the person's alive, they can do, they can accomplish, they could, no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in their life, right? If you're alive, you can do, you can accomplish, you could become better, you can become a better person, you can do for others, you can do the other, you can learn how to daven better, you could. But you have to do, you have to do. Time is very, very precious. And don't push things off. It really, again, Rabbi Victor Miller says, it sounds funny, but he says, this is number 16 is not a prescription for depression, it's a prescription for happiness. Because it's moda ani lefonecha. Because it's not mukhrach. Right? Things that we take for granted. The Cheshbon HaNefesh, he says, is not to take life for granted. And therefore to realize how precious it is, and we should be doing something with it. Always, every minute, every second, really, theoretically, but, well, there's no but, really. The but is that, you know, it's hard. It's very hard to feel, you know, we don't like pressure. This doesn't have to be a pressure. It's just a question of doing something constructive, not wasting time. You go on vacation, it doesn't have to be wasting time. It could be restful, and it could be, you know, recharging your batteries. Then, of course, it's not wasting time. Or you could bond with someone on a vacation. I mean, there's all different things. I'm not knocking vacations. Wasting time is the enemy here. I was wasting time. If you're doing something constructive when you're relaxing, you're not wasting time. So that's his point here, Rabbi Miller says. His point is, A, the preciousness of time, and you should be happy. People should be happy. That's the Modani happiness. And don't push things off for the future. Don't say, when I retire, when my house is empty, when my house comes down, when I have time. Now, you have time now. Now is when you have time. And that's the present. It's not the future, and it's not the past. The present is precious, and you should make sure to do something with it. The marshal Bazei, he gives a marshal kilo amelech, a king hifked etzlo pikadon, gave you a precious diamonds to watch. Below kotzav lo zman lahashav also, he didn't tell him when he's going to ask for it back. Vitzivosh, and he told him though, shiyah mitzapalo b'chaleitz. He says, I can ask for it back at any time. Make sure you have it. Make sure it's available. Make sure you don't mess up. Make sure you don't lose it. I can ask for it. I'm not telling you when. At any moment, I can ask for it. Kadesh lo yelech l'makom acher. So he certainly doesn't want the person to be, careless with the pikadon. V'sheyiyah. Nimtza eis sheyivakshehu hamelech, he should be ready to return it and give an accounting for it. That's obviously the nimshal. He can't, like, it's here, and the melech's going to take it back, and he has to make an accounting. So he has to, live. It's a prescription to live life to its fullest, because the melech's going to ask back for the pikadon, and we don't know when, and it has to be in good shape. Are you talking about Lodur Chutz Mimokam HaMelech? And the marshal, would the person move away and not be available to the king and not have not have the precious pearl to give back? Ba'ocha Pikadon Biyado? The Melech gives him a Pikadon and he's going to ask for it back. So he can't go somewhere where he has no access to it and he won't be able to give it back. And in the Nimshal, he will not be ready to give it back and make an accounting for the way it is. Person has a debt, and there's no set time. And he's always anticipating that the person is going to ask for the money back. And this is how things used to be in the olden days. People couldn't rest till they paid up a debt. Now, people think it's a midas chasidus to pay up a debt. They think they're big tzaddikim. They get indignant because of a piddly little thing, like they should pay back the money they owe you. But in the olden days, it was lo tanuach nafshu acha yifrenu. People wouldn't be able to, it didn't sit well with them if they owed money. They're gonna have to get it off their heads. So here, that's the other marshal, is that we have a chov to the melech, malchei hamlochim. And we have to, you know, he can ask for it back at any time, and I'll be ready to give it to him. When you think about this, that you're not guaranteed anything. The Yizkar, Kikoho Mechaveirov, and we all have people that Nosu El Olam Acher Kodem Imenu, again, it's an acute awareness, again, of the preciousness of time. We don't have all the time in the world. We don't.
and we can do things, and we have to be thankful to Hashem that we can do things, because we're alive, we can do things, we can accomplish. I mean, in the other world is Gan Eden. It's also, you're thankful for Hashem for Gan Eden. But we could keep doing, which is the purpose in the world, to keep doing. So we say, I'm alive, I can keep doing, I can keep accomplishing. Thank you for giving me more time to accomplish what I need to accomplish. He doesn't feel like, why should I live? This is the way you're supposed to think. Again, it sounds depressing, but the Totsoa is Adaram. He says, think about, you know, why should I live longer than that person? That's not fair. I know people my age who are not around anymore. So is that fair? My son Nehemia has, unfortunately, people his age that were niftar already. So the Chagavah says, think about that and realize you have no guarantees. And why should it have happened to him? It could have happened to me. So that's the kasha. It's very depressing. So that's what thank you. You don't waste a day now. If you really think about this, you don't waste a day. I don't have a day to waste. I can accomplish today. I can do. Now, accomplishment doesn't have to be to build a building or to make a whole new machon for many of the problems of Klal Yisrael. An accomplishment is to daven better, to be nicer to your fellow man, to be helpful, to help people, to think about Hashem. That's all what we do with our time. That's better. Right? To say, how am I supposed to love Hashem? Let me work on that. I hear so much about it. How am I supposed to love Hashem? So I would suggest first go back and learn Shaar HaBechina. And you learn about the millions of things, learn it with a computer. Because if you just learn Shaar HaBechina, you're going to read about what Hashem does for us with the science of 1,000 years ago. But if you sit there with a computer and you click everything that the Chavis of Lovis talks about, you'll see that he talks about the unbelievability of the way the blood works, and the way digestion works, and the way the eye works, and the way the ear works, and the way the kidneys work, and the way everything works. And like, it's a joke. It's not even third grade science to us nowadays. It's not even the third graders. To them third graders, well, not in cheder as well. But it's a joke. And if we follow the Shaar HaBechina, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, and his Shaar HaBechina expands and talks about, but even Rabbi Avigdor Miller, you know, the tapes are old. They're discovering new things every... This is what the Chavis always wants us to do. Let's say we all know about Dr. Blass's child, right? So his liver is not working the way it should. But part of what we should be thinking is, thank you, Hashem. Right? When we say Asher Yatzar, we say, thank you, Hashem, Uborbo. And Hashem gave me a liver that's functioning, and I don't have problems with my liver. No, it's working. Baruch Hashem. And thank you, you know, you gave me this. And then you want to read about it, what an unbelievably complex machine it is, and how things could go wrong with it, because it's a machine. So why Hashem chose this, that we don't know. That we have to cope, and we have to do, and we have to daven, and we have to... But it should also make part of us be thankful, and not take for granted that our bodies are working. So that's what he's saying here. You know, every moment, it's a beard marshal, but every moment is a diamond. There's a diamond and an emerald and a piece of gold, and it's a $1,000 bill, which is a joke. It's really much more than that. It's not going to come back, and this is the time, and there's no guarantee that you're going to have many of these moments. So wake up. And do. Be thankful to Hashem. By the way, that's also an accomplishment. We say, just thanking Hashem is already an accomplishment. You say, I don't have anything to do now. I think I'll do nothing. I'll space out and I'll just drink a cup of coffee. So that's, if you're relaxing, try to think about you're relaxing in order that you can have strength to take care of your kids or to do whatever you have to do that day. So, but maybe you have nothing to do. Maybe you're just wasting time spacing out. So just, the Lotus would say, think about Hashem. Think about how he took us out of Mitzrayim. Think about how he gave us a liver. Think about how your nose smells things, or your eye sees color. That's all. That's why Shaar Bechina is so valuable, because if we really are into it, then we would never have nothing to do. It's a great accomplishment to think about Hashem. Thinking about Hashem is a fantastic accomplishment. He's going to say it in other Cheshbon HaNefeshes. You know, there's 30 of them. We just passed the halfway mark. We're doing number 16. But that's a very valuable thing to do. And you feel close to Hashem and you appreciate, and you see Hashem. You see Hashem. Shaar HaYichud is to think about Hashem. Shaar HaBechina is really to see Hashem. To see Hashem in a flower, to see Hashem in your nose, to see Hashem in your eyelashes, and you read about it. You have to have chokhmah, right? Not taken for granted. To see Hashem in the way that we swallow food, and the body breaks up the food into nutritious chemicals, that each one goes to the part of the body that needs that chemical. It's mind-boggling. It's like if the mailman would deliver the letter to the right mailbox. It's amazing. That was a joke. Okay. So he says, if you think about this, yiktzar tochalto ba'olam, you'll stop thinking about olam hazeh, because you'll say, man, it's temporary. It doesn't last that long. So of course you'll do the things that you have to do to live, but you won't get into it because it's very transitory. The yochil achriso will think about olam haba. The yachshiv letzedoso leis nesiyoso. The yachshiv amnafsho kodem yom acheshben. Before Hashem makes the cheshben, you'll make the cheshben. You don't want the IRS to audit you or mas hachnasa. You want to come to them already that you already made the cheshbon. Here. And then if they check it, so they'll check it, and that looks good. When we come to Hashem, he says, you don't want Hashem to make the cheshbon. You don't want to come and wait to find out. Say, oh, you still owe 25,000 shekel in taxes. Yikes. You have to come back to this world to pay what you owe. You didn't fulfill your potential, which was number 15. Scary. So he says, you don't have all the time in the world. We don't have time. We can't think that we have time. We don't know. We don't know what Hashem has in store for us. So again, we can't go crazy for a minute. It would be wrong to get depressed. He holds it. It's a seed for happiness, ironically, which it is. I can see that. But certainly it should make us zoriz and zrizin makdim in the mitzvahs. And don't push off to tomorrow what you can do today. Someone who has that in front of his eyes, it's a great game plan for improvement. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheleth, Leiv Chachamim Beveis Ovel. What does it mean, Leiv Chachamim Beveis Ovel? It means to think about it, to think about the implications for you, for ourselves. Then it's a schus for the nifter also. If you think about it and you spurred on to do good things, then it becomes a schus that the nifter, even after he's nifter, can be the reason to that people improve their lives. I'm not saying this. Shlomo HaMelech says this. This is a pasuk in Koheles. And then, you know, this is what he says. Toblo lechasol beis evil, be lechasol beis mishta. You have a choice to go Be Menachem Oval or go to a chasana, Shlomo Melech says you'll be accomplishing much more if you go to be Menachem Oval, if you think about what it means to you. To we who remain, it means, and we learn from it, and we become better people because of it. So that's first a schus for the nifta, and also it's a spur to us to stop treating time as if we have limitless amounts of it, and we could always, when I get around to it, I'll do it, and when this happens, I'll do it, and when that happens, I'll do it, and we keep pushing things off, valuable things. Rotz Lomar, what does it mean, chai? Listen to his interpretation. Obviously, v'chayiten alibo. I mean, who are we talking to? Rotz Lomar b'chai mishalibo chai.
Someone whose mind is alive. Of course the person's alive. V'chayiten alibo. And v'chai should think about these things. Also, who else should think about that if not v'chai? Rotz Lomar b'chai mishalibo chai. The cup arbit, we say in Yiddish. You know, you're not sleeping. You're thinking. So your mind is alive. And you're thinking and you're learning and you're learning from events and you're saying and you're thinking, thank you Hashem, and you know, all these things that we've talked about. Klomar Hamevin Hamakir, someone who has depth of understanding and he recognizes the reality. And this could spur the person on. It spurs the person on to do constructive things, to better themselves, even slightly, to help others. As long as I'm alive, I can accomplish things. I'm supposed to accomplish things, and I could look for things to accomplish. And first of all, thank you, Hashem, Odani Lefanecha. And now I can accomplish. I can't say I'll wait till after Pesach. You don't know what it'll be. You don't know what it'll be. So it's scary and it's depressing, but it's a big, it lights a fire under us. That's what the Chavis of us wants to accomplish. Even if you have nothing to do, and you think for a few seconds that Hashem created the heaven and earth, and that the world is not eternal, it wasn't always here, but Hashem created it, and therefore we owe Him everything that we have. That's fantastic. You've accomplished a tremendous amount in a few seconds. Okay. V'omar Odom Lahevel Doma Yomov Kitzel Over. That's the end of the pasuk. You know, he doesn't quote it here, but a person is like a breath, and Yomov Kitzel Over, like a fleeting shadow. Because in terms of time, even if we live to 120, we say, what's 120 years? It's not that much. It's not that much time. So the way to impress upon us that the preciousness of time is by thinking the thoughts he said to think about. Again, it looks a little morose and depressing, but he means it adaraba. He says, realize that we have, if you're alive and you're listening and you're reading, so it means we have diamonds, Hashem, we're millionaires. We're alive. So that's better than the biggest millionaire. The biggest millionaire, if he's not alive, can't do anything. And we can do things, we can accomplish, we can grow, we can relate, we can be constructive, we could form a better relationship with Hashem, we can daven better, we can do anything. A man can learn more Torah. I mean, a woman can learn more Torah too, but a man is charged with learning more Torah. And that's all. That's number 16. Okay, we'll go on to number 17. Number 17 is just almost as... No, number 17 is counterintuitive. In number 17, the Chavos HaLavos wants us to realize... This is counterintuitive to most people. Maybe more than most people. To almost all people. Chavos HaLavos wants us to realize and think about the value and preciousness of solitude. People want to be surrounded by people. They want to have a lot of friends. They want to yak, yak, yak. They want to talk. They want to chatter. They want to trade news. And this is really an urge that a person has, is to be a social animal. But the Chavis Alvavas in number 17 will extol the virtues of being alone. Now, in Shar HaBitochon, we happen to be learning about the value of being alone, because that's how a person who finds himself or herself alone, that what they should realize the good side of it, and that's part of Bitochon, that you're relying on Hashem to deal with the situation you're in. Here, it's just an independent Cheshbon HaNefesh. One of the things he wants us to think about, the value of solitude. Histakluso, this is very funny, he says, Be'esha tata nafsho, when your mind is telling you, why don't you go out and call up a couple of friends and get together and have coffee together. You'll sit. He says, when you have a desire, sometimes it's taka good, you know, I have to say that. But the Chazal doesn't grant us that. He says, whenever you have a desire just to get together with people, l'cheres b'nei yodem v'lihishtasheya bohem, not that, if you want to get together to do something constructive, to trade ideas, to trade, you know, to talk and to be mechazik one another, even to trade recipes if that'll help your household run better. That's good, that's purposeful. But he's talking about just to get together and to schmooze. He's saying, I want to tell you, think about the milos habadidus. Think about the great value of solitude, the haprido mibnei adam, and not being with people, just being yourself. You're the best company you can have is yourself, he says. Uvaroa chervas kasilehem. If you're now at the end of this cheshbon, just we're not going to get there today. At the end of this cheshbon, he's going to say that if you have good friends, friends who, you know, you grow as a person with these friends, then that's better than solitude. And that's the best solitude, because you're really alone with Hashem. Because you're using your friends to grow and to connect to Hashem better. That's at the end. But here he's talking about if you have friends who are just, you know, they're not necessarily going to help you in your life's pursuit of relating to Hashem, but they're gonna just stop. So he's saying, think about the value of solitude, uberoa chervas kasilehem, and the negative aspects of just getting together, mebli dochak sheviyenu lekach. If you have to, you have to. If you have to go shopping with someone, you go shopping with someone. If you have to in business, you have to relate to people, you have to talk to people, fine. At home, you have to talk to people, you talk to people. But without having to, he's saying, again, this is very hard to accept. Chagavola says, if you don't have to talk to people, don't search out people to talk to. Unless you have to. If you have to, you have to. But if you don't have to, realize that you're your best company. You're probably the smartest person you know. Right? Admit it. Everybody admit it. You're the smartest person you know. And you're the best person you know. So he says, spend more time with yourself. Your wonderful company. Okay, we'll stop here.